Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend, how you? Kevin hates when I do that.
It's the multilingual portion of the program.
Oh, it's multi-something.
I had enough trouble with English in high school. I decided not to take any foreign language.
All right, let's get to something. The football team left today for Jacksonville. They practiced here last night. And something rare happened last night at practice. Last night's practice was terrific. I mean, I'm talking great. You're saying, well, that's not good. You don't understand. Normally when I see any team get any time off, I don't care if it's 2-3 days, usually that practice is sloppy. Mistakes, it's not a lack of effort, but it just happens that way. And then the next day after they have some time off, then usually it's really good. Not last night. Last night, they were really good last night. Impressive, in fact. Really into what was going on. And they've got everybody. You know, with the only two they don't have. They don't have Nyheim Wortman-White, and they don't have Jordan Lucas. Everybody else is ready. Everybody else is set. And that's the good part. And for whatever reason, last night they came off a break, Kev, and they were very, very sharp. And that's something that just does not happen very often at when a team has some time off. I rarely, if ever, see that. Hopefully it's a sign of good things to come. I hope. You're wondering about Nassib. Nassib was fine. Okay. But that's how it looked. Any questions? Go ahead. Fire away with questions. It's a big week. You got Shikalimi coming up on Wednesday in hoops. That's at 3.
Yeah, we'll be out of Bowlesburg at St. Joseph's Academy. First time those two teams have matched up.
Yeah. St. Joseph's is going to be pretty good down the road. I mean, being a Catholic academy, you know, they can draw from a little wider area. Eventually, they're going to be pretty good. I think it's good scheduling on Shikalimi's part. I think it's going to give them a good game. And,
They bounced back really well the other day, Tuesday night, against Selins Grove, and they played at Selins Grove, and you know they always play a physical brand of basketball there in the Selins Grove gym, and it's always a trouble. It's always trouble for Shikalimi, no matter what the record is. But Shikalimi really played well in that game and just kind of took command and bounced back really well from the loss against Shamokin, and we'll see how they do now getting outside the league for a game here.
Yeah. They really don't like you there, do they?
At Selins Grove?
Yeah.
No, everybody was really nice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Really? All right, let's get to Brad in Elysburg. Hi, Brad. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, it's Brian.
Hey, Brian, how are you today?
Okay. Happy holidays, Steve and Kevin.
Happy holidays to you.
See, Steve would know your name better if I could type better, but he can't. My typing is awful.
Yeah, Steve, I went out to State College on Saturday, and I got my bowl game shirt all ready for Saturday and turned down the sound and listened to you guys on the radio.
Well, we appreciate that very much. Mr. Hamm and I had a long conversation today.
Yep.
We're all set to go. I gave him a complete rundown on what was going on. So,
Wait, you found a Tax Slayer Bowl shirt? Hold on. Let's get to the important stuff. You found a Tax Slayer Bowl shirt.
Yep. I went to McClanahan's.
Nice.
And that's where I went. Yep.
I am a little bit jealous.
Yep. Yeah, I put it on my Facebook page, Steve, so I know I have you as a friend on there. You can go on there.
And I'm going to look at that.
I put it up there, and I made a comment that I went to the game and everything, and then and most of the guys I have on Facebook, I said good luck to them, and most of the guys liked the comment. I said good luck Saturday, so there you go.
Good. Sounds great. Yeah. Sounds great. Glad you got the shirt, and I hope we'll try and give you a really good broadcast on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. And tell Steve and everybody, I said Happy New Year from Central Pennsylvania, and hopefully we'll talk to you after the game, you better believe it, next year.
Sounds great. Sounds great, Brian. We look forward to that call very, very much.
Yeah, buddy, you know that. Win or lose, you know, I'm still at Penn State forever. You know, I've always talked to you in person, too, and everything, and you better believe it, buddy. You got it.
Well, thanks, Brian. Well, let me put it this way. I've got a feeling they're going to play pretty well on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out.
That's right. Okay, buddy. Take care now.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, good to hear from Brian in Elysburg at 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565 is the number. Any questions you have, I'll take them all right here. Because James isn't going to have a talk show this week. It's going to be Patrick tonight from 6:05 to 7.
That's right, the special Monday all-day Steve Jones show.
Well, we have to because Thursday is New Year's Eve. There's a game on Wednesday, and tomorrow's a travel day. So it really wasn't, and the football team traveled today. So, again, any questions you guys have? I mean, go ahead, just fire away. I don't care. Personnel questions, game questions, whatever. Here's your chance. Just fire away at 800-795-9565, and we will give you the answers. Straight out. You want to ask about depth chart? You want to ask about what they're going to, you know, what they're doing down there, what the practice schedule is down there, something about Georgia, what about them schematically? What about their coaching situation, the whole day? I mean, we'll give you the whole shooting match here. So whatever you want and whatever you think is, whatever's on your mind, we will get to it. 800-795-9565. This is if you want to know more about the game or about the team as it is right now, let me put it this way. This is a golden opportunity for you. All right, we will, okay, we'll answer anything. NFL questions, fine, too. It looks like Chip's going to make it. Looks like Chip's going to make it, by the way, down in Philadelphia. I think Mike Tomlin will make it, too, but they can't be happy with what they've seen this year. I know they've had injuries. That I understand. Roethlisberger being hurt hasn't helped. Le'Veon Bell, as well as D'Angelo Williams, him being out suspension, then getting hurt, hasn't helped. But they haven't had that many injuries on defense.
But you know what? D'Angelo Williams, though, has played really, really well for just being a guy who was supposed to fill in for a couple of games. He's actually run the ball quite well. And I'll tell you what, he makes some really nice cuts for a guy who's been in the league and taken as many hits as he has.
He's a pro's pro. He's a pro's pro. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Hand off Jerick McKinnon, stutter steps to the line of scrimmage. Now he busts it out to the left of the 40, to the 50. And Jerick McKinnon is loose inside the 10. Touchdown! It's a 68-yard touchdown for Jerick McKinnon. And the Vikings hang a 48 on the New York Giants.
Yeah, it was bad.
Sorry, but I know it was against the Giants.
It was bad. It was. I mean, the Giants played. Look, the Giants are not a very good team, yet they've lost, six of their games by 21 points, seven of their games by 21 points. But here's the issue. Outside of Eli Manning and Odell Beckham, and maybe JPP, name me another player on that team.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of name players on that team.
If the Giants played the Steelers team that played the Ravens, who would win?
If the Giants played the Steelers?
If the Giants played the Steelers team that played against the Ravens yesterday, I think the Giants would win that game.
I don't know.
I know, that's a hypothetical. Yeah, that's one of those where you have a couple of drinks and you have a hypothetical conversation. I think they'd win that one.
Let's see now. Georgia has arrived, by the way, in Jacksonville. And John Lilly will be the offensive coordinator on an interim basis. This is not the first time he has done this. He did this in the Belk Bowl, but it was the game plan of Mike Bobo, the one he had installed before he took the Colorado State head coaching job, which was vacant because Jim McElwain took the Florida job. So Lilly has got his own deal here. Grayson Lambert will be the starting quarterback. Bryce Ramsey, I think, is going to play some. Kevin Shearer, who is going to stay on the staff. Kevin Shearer has been rehired by Kirby Smart. He stays on the staff. He's one of the two assistants being retained. The other one's Tracy Rocker. They're both on the defensive side. And so Shearer knows he's sticking around. And there really isn't a lot for him to really change. He's sticking around, and their defense played pretty well this year. So I don't expect many changes for them on defense. They will have a personnel change. Tim Kimbrough suspended for the game, so Natrez Patrick is going to be the one that will start. And Roquan Smith and Juwan Taylor are going to probably see a little more playing time. Brendan Douglas is out of the bowl game for Georgia, wrist injury. Quavon Hicks on crutches at the team hotel. That indicates to all of us he's not playing. Sony Michel and Keith Marshall. Will be the two primary running backs. And by the way, running backs coach Thomas Brown has left the staff. He's joining Mark Richt in Miami.
By the way, I do have a forecast. It's a shame you're not down there this week. This past weekend, it would have been in the 80s. But the forecast for Saturday, clouds and breaks of sun, high 59.
Yeah, on Saturday, 59.
That's Saturday, yep.
It's supposed to rain this week down there.
They're calling for there's rain in the forecast for Wednesday, but some steadier, heavier rain on Friday before the game.
Yeah. There's a pep rally Friday down at Jacksonville Landing. I'm sure they'll get some idiot to MC it.
I got a funny feeling I know who that might be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Georgia's down there. And so that's the information I have on them. I think that's rather extensive information about who's hurt, who's not. And Quavon Hicks is out of the bowl game, as I mentioned, to go with Douglas, who's now out of the bowl game. Kimbrough's out of the bowl game. I'm trying to think who else is out. There's one other guy that's out of the bowl game. I think there's one other Georgia player won't play. For Penn State, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's Naeem Wortman White and Jordan Lucas. Right now, that's it. Let's see. They say A.J. Terman could get some carries in the game. Safety Jonathan Abram and Sakari Wilson did not make the trip as well. Abram's a safety and Wilson is a wide receiver. Wilson's problem is academics. Abram is dealing with a family issue. And They say it's still open that Abram could come down and play, could maybe play in the game, but as of right now, they're highly doubting it based on the family situation. Wilson's definitely out of the game, but Wilson was not going to play much anyway. All right, if at all, they've really based it down to Godwin, Mitchell, McKenzie, and Davis are really the guys that those are the four wideouts they play. Wilson was not going to play in the game anyway. He just wasn't. So that's about where they are. And for Penn State, they've got everybody. You know, except for the ones that, you know, I've already mentioned that, you know, aren't going to go. Abram is the backup safety to Quincy Mauger. And Mauger plays most of the time anyway. And Wilson, let's see, Wilson. Wilson, to his credit, never made my chart.
That's not good. And I know your charts get pretty deep. That's not good.
No go. Didn't make the chart. So no need to take him off the chart then.
Take him off then.
So, all right, let's take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's been an awakening.
For over a century, the force has been strong with Sunbury Motors. As 2015 draws to a close and SMC embarks on their 101st year, now is the time to experience Sunbury Motors. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, and Lincoln. At Sunbury Motors Ford, their financing is low at 0% for up to 72 months and no payments for 90 days. Plus over 120 new Ford trucks with savings up to 11 grand. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 0% financing for 72 months on all 2016 Hyundai Elantras. And there's up to $7,500 off remaining 2015 Sonatas. There's nothing like the holidays in a new Lincoln from SMC. The Lincoln Wishlist event is on. Save on Lincoln MKZ, MKX, the first ever MKC, and the new Navigator. And there's no payments until May at Sunbury Motors Kia. Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serenos, Sportage, Souls, and Forte. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the Reform Street Auto Plaza. It's Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's War.
800-795-9565, Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Steve. Hey, I just put a question. I heard you mention the depth chart and the number of guys that maybe wouldn't travel or whatever. Does the NCAA waive the number of traveling for a bowl game as opposed to a regular game?
Excellent question. Yes, they do. You can travel everybody.
That's what I was kind of curious, because what is it, 65 or something on a... Some in that area, I'm guessing, not 60, 65.
In the Big Ten, it's 70.
Okay, so it's a little higher there then. So basically, pretty much, then they can take the rest of the team then. They can all go. That was my
everybody
question.
Everybody can go. Yeah, everybody can go. It was just like, for example, when the team went to Dublin. He took all 124 players to Dublin. He took all of them. It was a non-conference game. He was allowed to. And the same thing with this. Non-conference game, you're allowed to take as many as you wish.
Even during the regular season, so they could travel anywhere in a non-conference game, like when they play at Temple or somewhere, they could take the whole team then.
You can if you want. Logistically, it's very difficult to do. You really do have to keep it within just because of the number of hotel rooms. Now, this is a little bit different. For example, you're taking everybody down with you, Dick, but you're practicing normally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a walkthrough on Friday. You know, it's not like a regular season road game where you go in Friday night, you play the game Saturday, you come right back. So this is a little different situation, and it's more of a reward. You get to take everybody.
I understand that. My only other comment is I'm glad that you have Coach Davis on, as you did for Coach Paulson every week, as long as he can do it or wants to do it, obviously. So, but I appreciate the fact that you do have him on there, and we'll see where that goes also.
He's terrific. I like Nathan a lot. I think Nathan's going to do a good job, and I think with some patience, I think people are going to like the results from him.
Well, I'm pretty much going forever, so I actually, I've known him for a long time, and I think he'll do well. It's a different system, and I understand that. They could have won a lot of ball games. Like, we were over to Princeton. I'm telling you what, Princeton is runs one of the best offensive programs I've seen. They run almost a flawless execution on the floor. It's unbelievable how well that they run that offense. They really
isn't
make
it amazing?
They just
isn't
don't make
it amazing the precision? Yeah.
I mean, it's like watching a work of art when they run an offense. Now maybe the defense, how they play makes it easier to run it. But I'm just telling you, it's incredible how their passing is so precise. It's just unbelievable. It's almost like an army or like a drill team when you're watching out there at like a dress drill team in the Army or Navy or Air Force or Marine Corps or something when you watch them. But anyhow, it's kind of interesting to watch them, and hopefully Bucknell does better. And I was going to call you earlier because I wanted to comment on the officiating again. There were 55 fouls called in that game yesterday, and to me, that's just too many fouls. That's over 1 a minute. I mean, that's unbelievable to me that there's that many fouls called in the basketball game.
It's too much.
I don't like it.
Let them play.
Well, again, Bucknell and Fairfield, obviously, I just looked it up. They're both averaging 20.8 fouls per game. They had the identical number of fouls up to this point until yesterday, 55 called. That's just me. I just think officiating is getting out of hand. Nobody goes to actually watch the officials, and I don't think some of the officials even understand that yet. But there it is.
I understand that. I agree with you. There's nothing for me to argue with you about. I think you're absolutely right.
See you. Thanks.
Thanks, Dick. Happy New Year. 800-795-9565. Jump in. Love to hear from you. Bottom of the hour, we're going to get a news update. And then, as our tribute to Festivus, 25 minutes of Kevin airing grievances.
Might be enough time.
This is actually going to have to be the Cliff Note version for you.
I just want another year where I care about football after week 17, or week 16, rather.
Well, send a note to your team. Tell them to get better.
Looking at them yesterday, I don't think they care.
Wow, you're bitter.
I question the ticker that they have right now after that game.
Imagine how you're going to feel when Johnny Manziel beats them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Time now for the airing of grievances.
There's not enough time in this segment.
We've listened to you air grievances for a year. In fact, 4 years. 4 years of you airing grievances. And now on behalf of the audience, it's our turn.
Listen, I have one request for this new year. I would like getting back to both of my teams in baseball and football, both my favorite teams, to actually play well so that I can have a continual sports season and not have to have a downtime in between.
You might get that.
No, I don't think I will.
Not this year.
No,
you won't get. I mean, the Phillies aren't ready to do it yet. 2 years from now, they might be. Look, everything in sports we're seeing now goes in cycles. I want to get to the Peyton Manning, Ryan Howard thing here in a minute, as well. We're brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, and they do so to their credit by putting you first. Best insurance, best price. Oh, and by the way, when there's a claim, man, they are right on top of it because they know how important it is to you to have that claim taken care of. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Okay. I want to get to the Manning Ryan Howard thing first. They're talking about suing. That tells me everything. If you're going to go out there and throw money into lawyers and so forth, that tells me a lot. Manning was vehement. Vehement. In his denial. So was Ryan Howard. Al Jazeera, really? Really? It is disgraceful, in my opinion, that anyone takes any story that Al Jazeera puts out and puts any credence toward it whatsoever. A disgrace that anybody thinks it's a story.
The Phillies kind
my,
of...
just my opinion.
The Phillies alluded in their statement that they would agree, they would cooperate with any investigation conducted by Major League Baseball against this report, which leads you to believe that they're asking Major League Baseball now to get in on this as well, maybe with a major lawsuit.
It's Al Jazeera. Bury them. After a while, you kind of get sick and tired of the little games that those people play. I'm sick of the games.
You know,
I'm sick of the games.
Steve, when I saw this story come out, and it was probably late in the day Saturday, the first thing I thought of was, and I'm very serious with this thought, why is it that Al Jazeera is coming out with this and we're not hearing it from someone like TMZ or Yahoo Sports who are really, who often break these kind of stories? And TMZ especially. I mean, we joke about it here, but let's face it. This is a story that has TMZ written all over it, and even they didn't come out with it.
It is an organization that puts out anti-American propaganda at every opportunity it has. Every opportunity. And here, I'll say it in plain English. They're garbage. And the fact that it even made it into a news cycle is embarrassing. Now, would I have somebody on my staff check it out? All right, without doing the story? Yeah. All right, I'd assign somebody here. Look into this. Get some reaction from them. Find out what the deal is. I mean, the pharmacist even says, he says, it was Al Jazeera. I was playing around with him. He said, I know what they know. Even he says, it's like, even he thought it was a joke. And he's completely retracted it. Completely. What does that tell you? All right. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Penn State has Maryland after your game with St. Joe's Prep coming up on Wednesday. It'll be Penn State, Maryland. You can join it in progress. Our airtime is 4:30. Tip-off 5 o'clock. We'll join in progress here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Maryland won again yesterday. Maryland's very, very good. Very good. They're ranked fourth in the country. Melo Trimble is playing at the usual high level of Melo Trimble, what I expected him. Double figures, really good assists. Maybe turns the ball over once or twice more than maybe Mark Turgeon wants, but he's really good. I really like Melo Trimble. He had a game against Penn State last year. He went 0 for 4 and was the most important player on the floor. He had 7 assists and had no turnovers. He figured out early in the game, look, I don't have my shot. It's not working. I'm going to do what I can to make other people better. You know how much I respect that? I mean, that's a real team basketball player. That's somebody who understands the game. Jake Lehman is a real worker that you'd love to have on your team, and you hate facing him on the other team. And he is just a really good rock-solid basketball player. He's been asked to change positions this year. He's been playing more of the shooting forward this year, and he has adapted well to the change. He's averaging double figures. Rashid Suleiman, who sat out last year, most of last year at Duke, we know about the off-the-court situation, which evidently kind of cleared itself up along the way, even though Duke wouldn't let him, even though Mike Krzyzewski wouldn't let him play. He transferred into Maryland, double figures, playing really well. Robert Carter sat out last year after transferring from Georgia Tech, second leading scorer and good player. And then there's Diamond Stone, who began the year coming starting, and struggled a bit. Now in the last six games, they have brought him off the bench. He's been unbelievable. He was 8 of 10 yesterday. 6'10 big man, playing a team game. And he also averages double figures. They have five players on this team that average double figures per game. Five. Pace of this game is going to be very, very important. Penn State is going to need to ratchet down the pace on the road. And that's going to be important. Ratchet down the pace a bit on the road. Get this to like a 65-possession game if you can. Penn State's about 68 possessions a game. Well, they need to get this into about a 65-66-possession game to really close the gap on this team in their building. Because they can score. The one loss they had was at North Carolina. That was a wild game for the first 30 minutes, and then North Carolina had that one burst. That one burst made all the difference for them. Now, the odd thing is that in football, it has to be the opposite. Let me give you a thumbnail on Georgia. Georgia is a team that plays a 3-4 defense. And they present two major problems for Penn State. One is very athletic. This will be another really athletic team that they're facing, like Ohio State, great athletes. But the one area that they're different than anybody else Penn State's faced this year is length. Now let's get to the part where Georgia gets uncomfortable. Where does Georgia get uncomfortable? Remember I just talked about basketball where Penn State needs to ratchet down the pace just a bit. Instead of being a 68-possession team, maybe be 65, 66, which in turn means Maryland, instead of being in the mid-70s, they're in the mid-60s possession-wise. Football's the opposite. You know what bothers Georgia? Tempo. Tempo bothers Georgia. Every tape I've watched, okay, tempo bothers Georgia. Watch Penn State, not always, but there'll be moments in this game where Penn State will ratchet up the tempo, and not only that, watch for Penn State to do a lot of motion in this game because motion bothers Georgia. Moving parts bother Georgia. You see it on the tape. Moving parts bother them. Now let's flip it to the other side. The Georgia offense. Grayson Lambert's going to start. He'll play a lot. I expect Bryce Ramsey to play some. But Grayson Lambert will start. Lambert is very careful with the ball. Very careful. He does not throw a lot of interceptions, but he also does not take a lot of chances. This is not a deep ball throwing team. This is a very careful, underneath coverage, pass game for the most part. It's not as if they don't have breakaway threats. Isaiah McKenzie, who was a great punt returner, has now become a little bit more involved in the offense as a wideout the last four games. Godwin, the freshman, has become a little more active, and they'll use Godwin at times along with Sony Michel and the Wildcat. They run Wildcat out of this thing. And then there's Mitchell, who's probably the best receiver they have as a fifth-year player. Had an ACL a couple of years ago. And he's the best receiver they have, but he's also not the great deep threat. Michelle's a very good running back, very quick. Georgia, though, is also very left-handed. They are a left-handed running team. Also, Lambert under pressure the last four games, when he's been pressured, is 6 for his last 26 passing under pressure. Where can the pressure for Penn State come from? Guess who has the single most favorable matchup in the game up front? Just guess. Carl Nassib. The weak side for Georgia is the right side. And guess where Nassib lines up?
Could be a fun game for him.
Could be. Doesn't mean he'll get sacks in the game, because, again, Lambert will get rid of the ball. He'd rather see it be third and 10 than second. He'd rather see it be third and 10 than third and 17. So just keep that in mind. Lambert likes to just get rid of the ball when he has to get rid of the ball because he'd rather eat the down. I respect that. That's smart football, but that's the most favorable matchup out there. I think Nassib has a really favorable matchup in this game. Really favorable. Now, the left side? The left side, they're really good. You watch them run to the left, that's where they gain yards. Center, left. Theus is a really good tackle. Really, really good. Very impressed by him. And Michelle's a good running back. Very quick and excellent receiver out of the backfield. Last four games, Michelle averages 10.7 yards after the catch. Now, where does he get those? Some screens, mostly flares, some in a pattern. Mostly flares, though. I think it's like 41% flare passes for him this year. Georgia does not usually go fast. They're usually pretty methodical in their approach on offense. Doesn't mean they can't go fast in this game. And obviously with a new coordinator, I'm going to watch a little bit of the Belk Bowl because he called that game and I've got access to it. I just want to see what he did, if there was anything different or innovative in terms of trick plays. The punter, Ramsey's okay. The place kicker is very, very good. I think he's 8 of 14 in his career beyond 50 yards. He didn't have a 50-yard attempt this year, but I think his career is like 8 of 14. It's very good. The kick return game is good, not great. The punt return game is an A+. McKenzie is a great punt returner. Davis is a great punt returner when they don't put McKenzie back there. They're going to have to gain. That's going to have to be a win in this game for Penn State. Penn State's going to have to be at least even in that part of the game. To me, if they're even in that part of the game, then it's a win for Penn State. If they're even in that part of the game. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, Pitt's just scored. It's 31-21 Navy with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
That means Pitt scored twice in the last few minutes.
Yes.
Wow.
I think Chris Swain fumbled and Pitt scored. I think that's what happened.
I was going to say, because the last I looked right before the break, and they were down a couple of scores.
Yeah, it's 31-21. They scored a touchdown, and then Jordan Whitehead recovered Chris Swain's fumble for a touchdown.
Wow.
Keenan Reynolds has run for 103. He has passed for 107 in the game. Chapman traded by the Reds to the Yankees. The Yankees needed a closer. They know it, especially with the Red Sox acquiring Craig Kimbrel. They had to do something, so they did. They get Chapman, who had a deal with the Dodgers, derailed because of a domestic issue, which, by the way, went nowhere. I mean, it went nowhere. What happened was that nobody wanted to file any paperwork, each side. You know, it was just, it ended up going nowhere because nobody wanted to do anything. But they get him in a trade for minor leaguers. Minor leaguers. And nobody on the major league roster, my understanding, is going in this trade. It's going to be multiple minor leaguers going to Cincinnati. Chapman is 27. Saved 146 games and 164 chances. 1.63 ERA this past year. He struck out 116 and 66 in the third. He threw the 62 fastest pitches in the big leagues this past season. He topped out 103.92 miles per hour. Okay. It's pretty good. So Chapman goes to the Yankees in a trade. No Dodgers. All right. Tomorrow, Jack Ham. Dick Girardi tomorrow. The Big Ten opener. Jack Ham with the Tax Slayer Bowl. Mark Weiser, Athens American Statesman tomorrow on the Georgia side of it. And also Chris Soleri from the Lansing State Journal tomorrow on the Michigan State Alabama. That's tomorrow's lineup. Coming up on Thursday, day off on Wednesday because of basketball with Shikellamy St. Joe's and Penn State Maryland. Thursday, Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer, Kerry Stroh, and I in a roundtable on the Penn State season and the bowl game. That's what we have coming up. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So I go down to Maryland tomorrow. I'll do the game Wednesday, but I have to come back on the bus and get back at midnight and then be back at the airport at 6 a.m. for a charter on Thursday morning. So what I'm going to do tonight is pack two bags, one to go to Maryland and one to go to Florida.
You sure you don't need a spotter for Florida?
All set. I just ran down the whole team. Who do you know?
Yeah, but I can still point to guys.
Who's 26?
Who cares? I'll just point to him.